Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hell of an Angel by Christy Barth. Narrated by Quinn Riley and Griswold Adams. Chapter 1. The best thing about Evangeline Thayer's job as an actuary was that she didn't have to talk to people. Most of the time. When she got to sit in her cozy home office, using statistics and the glorious certitude of math to analyze financial risk, she was happy. Well, content, for sure. And she excelled at it. Which had led to the current problem. She was so good that her supervisor insisted she go, in person, to meet their big new client. Goodbye yoga pants. Hello, stockings, like it was 1954. But while Buffalo was admittedly nice in June, the inside of an office run by three male partners undoubtedly had the AC cranked to near frigid. She'd worn the archaic, twisted nylon manacles as protection. Not just because she'd grown up in hell and preferred things on the warmer side. So, she'd been in the bathroom wrestling with the darn things for far too long. Her new clients were probably waiting for her. A bad first impression was an impression people remembered. Evangeline didn't like to be noticed or remembered. She took great pains to stay off everyone's radar, to simply blend in as, hopefully, a normal human. Was that really so much to ask? Pushing past the bathroom door, she paused at the corner before the glassed-in conference room. Every step she took rode her skirt higher up her legs with static electricity on the stockings. Eva loathed them. How had they not improved over the decades? Why had her boss insisted that business attire meant a skirt or a dress? But her job wasn't to address old-school sexism. It was to get through the next 20 minutes.
Why do all three of us have to be here? This audit doesn't need to be done by committee. Today's just a meet-and-greet, anyway. I'm shit at greeting.
A man's deep bass rumbled down the hall.
Oh, no. Metaphora's partners were already waiting for her. Eva lifted her laptop bag, ready to hustle in and apologize.
Because I'm not doing the meeting alone, Z, a smooth baritone responded. Not with some numbers nerd who probably isn't even hot.
What? What? As a woman... Okay, not a human woman, but female solidarity transcended the whole paranormal versus humans divide. The assumption that giving up his time was only worthwhile for a pretty face? It was appalling. As an unabashed lover of the beautiful perfection that was math, the slam against nerds was equally appalling.
Gideon, behave, a third voice reasoned.
Or ordered? Hard to tell without seeing their faces. Her view was of the gray-painted hallway, covered with vibrant photos of far-off landscapes that she assumed were locations where they shipped.
This whole thing will go more smoothly if you don't sleep with our new actuary. Or will it?
Evangeline still couldn't see them, but she could swear he'd just waggled his eyebrows.
Don't you want us to get a glowing report? My, personal involvement could guarantee it. Your personal involvement's already wasted 10 minutes of my day,
the original speaker said flatly.
We're a shipping company, not a sit-on-your-ass-and-talk company. They call those consultants. And I'd rather impale myself on a dagger than run herd over a bunch of those.
Yikes. Harsh. Plus, the dagger comment was oddly specific for a human. But Eva got it. She'd rather impale herself on a flaming dagger than work for men who thought physical appearance had anything to do with her actuarial skills. Good thing these were simply clients.
This is business, Gideon.
A hand slapped against probably a table.
Not fun and games. That's the problem with you, Reese. You don't get that you can do business and have fun.
Ew. This Gideon guy was definitely a player. The other two at least sounded annoyed by his antics. Kudos to them. Eva peeked at the nearest row of cubicles. Their inhabitants were close enough to overhear, just like her. Nobody was reacting, which meant this braggadocio was no doubt Gideon's usual M.O. Best to just march in there and get it over with. Eva tugged at her recalcitrant beige skirt. This guy didn't deserve an accidental flash of thigh. She made sure her heels clicked loudly against the cement floor on her approach. A tall man with dark hair stood behind the chair at the head of the oval conference table.
Ah, Miss Thayer, I presume. Welcome to Metaphora.
This was wild. She'd just gotten annoyed at one of them, judging her on yet-to-be-seen looks, but these men were all jaw-droppingly handsome. The odds of that occurring among three partners were quite low. A simple statistical fact, not an exaggeration. Lean and striking, she'd peg the speaker as the leader. Over at the window stood another dark-haired man. This one was more muscled, but just as tall, swarthy, and drool-worthy. Then, at the center of the table, lounged the epitome of blonde male perfection. High cheekbones, a ruthlessly tailored white shirt that did nothing to hide the definition of his pecs. Eva wished he'd been standing like the other two, so she could take a good, long look at the undoubted thickness of muscled thighs to match those of his arms. What was she doing? She was here to work, not ogle. Not that she fully blamed herself. The three ruggedly handsome men had so much testosterone swirling in the air, it was amazing she was still upright beneath its thick miasma. The man who'd spoken to her rounded the table to shake hands.
Reese Boyce.
Now she was on business autopilot.
Please, call me Evangeline. Over by the windows, Xavier Carranza.
The swarthy man nodded, but not a single centimeter of his face flickered into anything near a smile. It was fine. Eva didn't need the pretense.
And that's my other partner, Gideon Durand.
He pointed at the blonde man, the one who had made the remarks that put her back up. The voice hadn't belonged to Reese, and Xavier wasn't giving off Playboy vibes. To her surprise, Gideon did rise to his feet. But rather than coming closer, he simply reached across the table to shake her hand.
Welcome.
Ooh, he was the jerk. But she wouldn't say anything, because Metaphora was throwing money at her company to conduct this year's audit. The goal was for Eva to make this easy enough, give them fast and painless results so that these men would offer her company a multi-year contract. As much as she preferred sinking into numbers, her sole job today was to kick things off on the right foot.
Thank you for the opportunity to meet, face to face. I'm sure it will lead to a more pleasant working relationship. Really? So now that we've met, you'll sign off on any generalized risk assessment we put in front of you? We can skip the mind-numbing hours of discovery?
Gideon slumped back into the high-backed leather chair.
No.
Starting on the right foot was one thing, Eva refused to mislead her clients, or candy-coat what was to come. And because Mr. Thinks He's So Hot had been the one to ask, she'd go a step further than the simple shutdown.
No, we won't be skipping any steps in the process. There are no shortcuts in risk assessment. That, in itself, would be an unacceptable and potentially expensive risk.
The first time Eva made that clarification to a client, she'd paused for laughter. And discovered from the gaping silence that actuarial humor went right over most people's heads.
We don't want Metaphora to have unnecessary risk as a corporation. Me, though, I like to dance with danger.
Then Gideon grinned. Grinned with the swashbuckling air of a puffy-shirted pirate from centuries past. Grinned with the roguish charm of the lead in a heist movie, thumbing their nose at the clueless cops while hauling in the heroine for the kiss of a lifetime. Did he actually think that would work on her? Okay, it worked an infinitesimal amount. Because if you had 2X chromosomes, it was impossible not to react to the suavely seductive, hot-as-hell man. But actuarial science was no joking matter. Eva was under contract to project costs of potential natural disasters. Hello, massively important to a worldwide shipping company. The impact of death or illness of employees, and then draft insurance policies and strategies to reduce their financial risks.
Well, I do not, she said in a tone flat enough to quash any further attempts at levity on his part.
Maybe. I assure you that I know my own mind.
Gideon continued as if Eva hadn't said a word, let alone an entire sentence.
Or maybe you just haven't danced with the right partner yet.
He'd leaned forward, forearms planted on the table. The face tilted up to hers wore a smile so bright that she nearly squinted. To heck with this. It was the 21st century. She didn't have to put up with this behavior.
Maybe you, shockingly, haven't paid attention to the fact that it is a breach of professionalism to so much as hint at anything in the realm of my personal life. Who or what I choose to dance with is none of your business. And if you think you'll flirt your way to a good report, let me assure you that any inappropriate allusions or moves would not be reflected positively in my report. My deductions are based solely on numbers. It would, however, reflect poorly on you as a person.
Ooh, that had felt good. It released a little of the huffiness she'd been holding in since eavesdropping from the hallway. Reese winced, glared so hard at Gideon that it was amazing his chair didn't slide backward from the force. Then he winced again, directing it at Eva.
I'm sorry. My partner does not speak for all of us.
Xavier rubbed at the back of his neck.
Gideon, why'd you have to complicate things? Why can't you keep your mouth shut? I assume that one day you'll come around to accepting that I can't. Won't. Whichever. So you'll stop making me sit in on boring meetings.
Eva had said enough already. Had skirted the line of courtesy just enough. She should let his comments roll off her back. That was her usual M.O. Nope. Not, apparently, today. This man pushed buttons Eva didn't even know she had. Probably because it annoyed her how his voice resonated deep inside her body. As if it were plucking some unseen strings. It annoyed her even more the way her skin flushed in response to simply looking at his masculine perfection. Gideon Durand made her feel things, want things that she'd never before felt or wanted in the middle of a client meeting. How dare he? Eva deliberately sat down across from him, planted her forearms on the table, mirroring Gideon's pose.
You think this meeting's boring?
One side of his agile mouth quirked up, as did his perfectly arched golden eyebrows.
Surprisingly not, so far. But once you start getting into the weeds of our numbers, yeah. The Count of Monte Cristo, behind his mask in solitary confinement for 20 years, had more excitement than this meeting would hold.
What I do? It is life and death stuff. The life or death of your company. As a partner, this should be riveting. If it isn't, I'll assume you just don't care about success, or the livelihood of the 547 employees you have worldwide.
Gideon sat up straighter, looked at Reese, then twisted around to look at Xavier. Neither sprang to his defense.
I care, he spluttered.
All playfulness had dropped from his demeanor. Had she actually gotten through?
Perhaps, but not enough to spend a scant 10 minutes meeting and greeting a numbers nerd who isn't even hot.
Eva made air quotes as she threw his own words back at him. It was a direct hit. Gideon was frozen, as if Medusa herself had turned him to stone. Satisfied, she tossed her long, ash-blonde braid back over her shoulder.
My only goal for today was to meet you, gentlemen, not to ruin anyone's afternoon with facts or figures. So unless there are any questions, I'll see myself out.
Silence blanketed the conference room. As long as she didn't get fired, Eva would count this, ultimately, as her best client meeting ever. Leaving with the upper hand was intoxicating. She'd spent, well, all of her life being told and reminded just how powerless she was. Her lack of powers defined her. Right now, Eva was powerful. She and her aunt would have to celebrate once she arrived on her long-anticipated visit late tonight. Eva picked up her pace, eager to put the men of Metaphora, one in particular, behind her. There would be no more thoughts about Gideon. She wouldn't allow it. At least for the weekend.
There were a lot of things that, well, sucked about being a Nephilim. Gideon didn't have to try hard at all to compile a list of what he disliked about his half-angel, half-human status. Full angels, from the lowliest angel to the highest seraphim, reviled and often hunted them as half-breeds, abominations. While angels simultaneously trained and used Nephilim as soldiers. Guardians of humanity to be chucked in front of evil like chum to a shark. No halo. That one didn't really bother Gideon much, except on principle. No admittance to heaven while alive, thanks to that human blood of his. Again, he was mostly fine with it, aside from burning with curiosity. He didn't believe for a hot second that cherubim lounged on fat clouds strumming harps. But if not, then what was up there? God, he hoped it wasn't filled with alfalfa smoothies and tofu. But the one thing that was freaking fantastic about being a Nephilim? Flying. His wings beat through the cool night air as he followed the Niagara River across the Canadian border. The roar of the falls hit him, even a good 24 feet overhead. Gideon flew low across the river to keep from being spotted. Not that many people were out and looking up at 2 a.m., except for one. He swooped lower, because there was a figure on the edge of the falls, on the wrong side of the guardrail, hunched over, hoodie drawn tight. Son of a bitch. It happened. Niagara Falls was a big draw for suicide seekers who wanted the legacy of drama with their death. The obvious spots were fenced and policed, but sometimes someone with enough of a death wish got through. Problem was, Gideon couldn't let him. Bigger problem was, it'd mean revealing himself to a human. That was not okay. His one official mission in life, though? Protecting and saving humans from demons, abusive fathers, and even themselves. So for all the grief he'd catch, Gideon had no choice. He had to do it. On the plus side, a suicide attempt won you an automatic entry to a psych ward, where nobody would believe any ravings about guardian angels. He adjusted his angle to come in sharply, to not be seen until the last second. Didn't want the poor guy to jump in prematurely to escape Gideon's save. Wind gusts at the top of the falls were unpredictable and strong. Gideon could handle it. Just, it'd be trickier with an armful of human presumably struggling. Well, he'd been the one to volunteer to do the nightly perimeter sweep, even though it was Reese's turn. No good deed ever went as planned. Gideon folded his wings in, arrowed down steeply and silently. At the last second, he made a grab for the human and winged back up.
"My suitcase!"
a female voice shrieked at him, and only his supernaturally quick reflexes prevented her knee from connecting to his balls.
"You idiot! If you're going to kidnap me, at least bring my bag, too!"
Kidnap? Was that the messed up term kids were calling it these days? He tried to stay current, but at 87, some things slid past him. Gideon slammed on the metaphorical brakes, and the real ones hovering high above the blue-lit water. He'd known from the initial second of contact that he'd assumed the wrong gender. The figure in his embrace was skinny but curvy where it counted. Wind had popped the hoodie back, so he had a face full of silky hair. Most of all, he knew that voice. It was the actuary who'd verbally clawed off his balls a few hours ago. Not a stranger. Far worse, it was someone who could connect him publicly to Metaphora. Thinking, what were the odds, was useless. Weird, unexpected, and unexpectedly bad shit happened all the time in his world. Wait, nothing was adding up.
"You packed a suitcase to commit suicide?"
"Why would I do that?"
"Hell if I know."
Gideon racked his brain for her name. He hadn't bothered to note it in his calendar. Hadn't wanted to remember it after she'd so politely but cleanly eviscerated him.
"Oh, for goodness sake!"
She kept pushing at the arm banded across her, uselessly. Gideon was a trained and seasoned warrior, far stronger. No way he was dropping a human.
"I'm not suicidal. At all. So please put me down."
"I'm just supposed to take your word for it?"
"Is there a quiz I can take that would satisfy you? Should I start sprouting iambic pentameter about the beauties of the summer flowers and how life is a radiant jewel to be treasured?"
She stopped squirming, pushed her hair out of her face and his. As they both finally got a look at each other, the woman frowned. Her chest heaved a sigh beneath his arm.
"Oh, of course it's you. Like you haven't already ruined my day enough."
Smartass. Hang on. How was she so easily popping off the sass to him? Shouldn't she be freaking the fuck out about being held by a man with wings, 100 feet in the air over one of the biggest waterfalls in the world? Even if she did recognize him as a respected business owner? No moon tonight. Gideon strained to see anything about her features to give away the reason for her weird calm. Annoyance and indignation at 200%, sure. But relative calm at the situation? The dark sky, even this close, didn't reveal more than a pointed chin, a delicate nose, and deep-set eyes. Who are you?
I knew it.
How did she lace her words simultaneously with vindication and disappointment?
You don't remember my name, do you? I'm just another potential fling filling out a bra to you. You probably go through women like potato chips, quickly and mindlessly.
She wasn't entirely wrong. If Reese and Xavier were along, they'd be laughing their asses off at how well she'd summed him up. But now was not the time to poke at him. Read the fucking room, lady.
Hey, I just saved your life. That ought to count for something.
You didn't. Oh, do you want thanks? A $20 tip? You'll have to wait to get those from the next unsuspecting person you rescue.
Okay. Gideon believed her. About the not being suicidal thing. She was acting as if they were having this argument on a street corner, not as if he'd suddenly disrupted the biggest decision of her life.
Fine, you didn't need rescuing. My apologies for trying to do the right thing.
Long lashes dusted her pale cheeks as she closed her eyes for a moment. Then, after a sigh that made Gideon even more aware of the soft breasts bracketing his forearm, she said,
I suppose it's not your fault. You Nephilim have that mission beaten into you from the cradle, don't you?
She knew what he was? He flew higher, making sure they'd been masked by the darkness from anyone below. The wind disappeared the farther he got from the falls. The air got colder, though. As the woman shivered, Gideon realized she was wearing only a thin tank top under the unzipped hoodie. All he could do was wrap his other arm around her to share his body heat, because he wasn't letting her go until he had an explanation.
I'm asking again, and I expect an answer this time. Who are you?
Evangeline Thayer. Try not to forget it this time.
The attitude she kept throwing at him was so strong, it might as well be a third person hanging out in mid-air with them. That was the thing, though. Gideon suspected that Evangeline wasn't a person at all.
Yeah, this whole episode will stay stuck in my brain. Evangeline Thayer, the woman who berated me for trying to save her life.
I get that. I'm sorry. I really did assume you were kidnapping me at first.
Why would I do that?
The world is chock full of evil creatures. Most of them don't need a reason.
It was an answer. Gideon also pegged it as an evasion. Clearly there was a reason Evangeline thought herself at risk.
Evangeline. Old-fashioned name.
Yeah, well, my family's old. Very old.
She twisted to look at her wrist as her smartwatch vibrated. A tisk of disappointment slipped out.
Damn it. Now I've missed my boat.
No matter how hard Gideon tried, he couldn't follow her train of thought. Their conversation went in circles and then whipped out into randomness.
That's what you were doing on the edge of the falls? Waiting for a boat? You know they stopped running hours ago.
I was waiting for the ferry.
She spoke slowly, as if he should know better.
It took months to get an appointment. Months and quite a few bribes. Well, I hope you're happy.
Happy that you're hallucinating? Nah.
I'm not... Do you really not know?
The snippiness disappeared from...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?